We celebrate Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. This is the second year that we celebrate the feast of the three siblings of Bethany. It was only last year that Pope Francis added Mary and Lazarus to the previous memorial of Saint Martha. So it expands the feast day quite a bit, because instead of just focusing on Martha, now we have three people to celebrate together. We would all like to know more about them. We'd like to know more about their family. Were there any other siblings? What about their parents? How did they live? Were they rich? Were they poor? What did they do? But we don't know much about them. Martha is certainly the most prominent of the three. She has the only speaking part among the three. And we saw her less than 2 weeks ago in Sunday's Gospel, in the passage about her and her sister hosting Jesus. In that passage, there was no mention of Lazarus, so we don't know what he was up to. But Martha and Mary were hosting Jesus, and we know from John's Gospel that Jesus went there regularly, and they were friends. Since we don't know that much about them, we tend to take Martha as the symbol of the active life, Mary as the symbol of the contemplative life, and Lazarus as a symbol of the process of dying and rising again, death and resurrection, or the Paschal mystery. And that's a very rich, and that's three big topics right there: active life, contemplative life, and the Paschal mystery. We can ponder also what it means to be friends with Jesus. We know many people in the Gospels experience Jesus' miraculous care, healings, driving out demons, providing food. But in the case of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, they have a more intimate friendship with him. They eat with him. They sit around together. They talk. The church would tell us we should not be too envious of them. It's not as if we are completely cut off from the experience of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. We don't have their physical, tangible experience. But like Martha, we can serve the Lord, because whatever we do to the least of our brothers, we do to him. So we can put ourselves at the service of Jesus himself, especially in the poor. We can, like Mary, sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his words. In fact, we're doing it right now. When we come to Mass, and especially during the liturgy of the word, we are sitting at Jesus' feet. We are listening to him speak to our hearts. And we can, like Lazarus, enter into the experience of dying and rising, because we have died with Christ in baptism and we have risen with him in baptism. And every experience we have of dying to sin and rising in grace and mercy is a representation of the Lazarus experience. So, as I say, there's a lot to reflect on here. Each one of these siblings can teach us a lot. Because today's first reading, which happens to be the reading of today, Friday, focuses on the suffering of Jeremiah the prophet, I'd like to focus on this aspect of the life of the Holy Family of Bethany. I don't know if we can call them the Holy Family, but you know what I mean. They're obviously a Holy Family, and they live in Bethany. So we can reflect on how they also experienced suffering. Now, the starting point for this is Jeremiah's experience. And in this reading, Jeremiah is told to go to the temple and to warn the people once again about the danger of not following the Lord, the danger of disobedience. What happens when we are disobedient is that we cut ourselves off from our our source of life, and we end up being suffering destruction. And he tells the people, if you keep disobeying the Lord, if you keep refusing to accept the guidance of the law, if you don't listen to the words of the prophets, well, then the Lord is going to treat you like he treated the shrine in Shiloh. Shrine in Shiloh was completely destroyed. It was well known as an example of repudiation, or having been rejected by God because it was no longer a place of faithfulness. Jeremiah says the Lord is going to make this city, meaning Jerusalem, the city to which all the nations on earth shall refer when cursing another. So Jeremiah is giving them very strong warnings. And he's doing it in obedience to God. He's doing what he's supposed to do. What happens? Well, they turn around and say, well, you have to die now. We have to put you to death because you said this temple is going to be like Shiloh and this city is going to be cursed. And that's obviously not the kind of language we will tolerate in this holy place. So Jeremiah, faithful to God, in an intimate friendship with God, obedient to God, has to suffer threats to his life. Isn't that strange? That God allows his friends to experience times of suffering, of rejection, even as a result of their obedience. And as I say, this is an experience that the three siblings of Bethany also shared in. Remember the story of when Lazarus was sick and Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus, who was not too far away, the one whom you love is sick. And Jesus deliberately waited. He allowed that sickness to linger. In fact, he waited until Lazarus died. You say, well, this is someone whom Jesus loves. This is a family whom Jesus loved. You would think, or we would think, that if he really loved them, he would rush to help them and heal Lazarus, and not only help Lazarus, but save Martha and Mary the experience of grief. But he didn't do that. So this tells us that the experience of suffering and death, experience of sorrow at people who suffer and die, is part of our relationship with God. Part of the contradictory experience of being friends of God, friends of Jesus. When, of course, that experience of grief, of sickness, and of death has another side to it, the joy of resurrection, the joy of healing, the reconciliation and the restoration that comes when Jesus says to Lazarus, come up out of the tomb, rise. So we should not focus only on our sorrows and our sufferings. It's a real part of the Christian life, part of human life, but part of human life even for those who are striving to be faithful to God, yes. But it's not the only part. So joy is also part, and in fact it's the dominant part of the Christian life, not sorrow. Life is the dominant part, not death. But both aspects are present. That's what Lazarus teaches us. And remember, to make the point even clearer, when Lazarus was already raised from the dead and stood before everybody as as evidence of Jesus' power over death, remember the reaction of the Pharisees. They plotted to kill Jesus because he was getting to be too prominent, and they were afraid the Romans were going to stop this nonsense. And then they planned to kill Lazarus too, because so many people were going over to Jesus because of Lazarus. So put yourself in the shoes of Lazarus for a moment. You were sick. your friend Jesus allowed you to be sick. You died. Jesus allowed you to die. You lay in the tomb for 4 days. We would love to know what he was experiencing during those 4 days. We'd love to know what he said to the people after he rose, but that's, we don't know. So then you go around and tell people, I died and have been brought back to life by the power of my friend Jesus, which he should do. He should make that announcement. What else is he going to tell people? Talk about the weather? This man, Lazarus, has an extraordinary testimony to share, and I'm sure he shared it with anybody willing to listen. What's the fruit of that faithful declaration of the gospel? Threats to his life. So Lazarus, well, the whole family, but Lazarus in particular, shows us that faithfulness to God, faithful proclamation of the gospel, living as a witness of friendship with Jesus Christ does not mean that we will not have any enemies. It does not mean that people will accept everything we say or accept our testimony. People might even want to kill us. That's part of the mystery. Does it ruin our celebration of this feast? No. It enriches us because all of us experience these things. Suffering, death, loss of loved ones, persecution, rejection. We should not allow those negative experiences to defeat our confidence in God or block our trust in our friend, who is Jesus Christ. He has come for this very reason, to defeat suffering and death, to defeat sin, to give us strength for times when we're persecuted. So we turn to Martha, Mary, Lazarus. We learn hospitality from them. We learn pondering from them. We learn confidence in God. We learn friendship with Jesus Christ. A friendship that lasts beyond death.